don't know if anybody saw this headline. If I can, there we are. This was the headline of the New York Daily News on Thursday. Now, I don't think they were necessarily taking a shot at God, but more like taking some shots at politicians who they think offer simple platitudes, like thoughts and prayers, but do nothing practically to curb the violence that is becoming commonplace in our country. There's a lot of frustration in our country and around the world. How do we fix it? Who is going to fix it? And maybe even the question, can it be fixed? What does the future look like for the world that we live in? Is there hope for our world? As I read about the people who lost their lives in San Bernardino, it was hard for me to read about the different lives of people who died that day. Moms and dads, grandparents, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren. And I keep coming back to this question, what is our response as believers? What do we do? We have to do something, right? What do we do? How do we fix this? Well, there's a lot of opinions about how to fix this. Our country, probably in our country right now, there's a strong debate about whether new laws will help the problem. Maybe stronger gun laws will help get the weapons out of the hands of the people who want to do bad things. And then there's the other side of that, people who believe the best option is to kill all the bad people. Kill them before they kill you. We need more guns. Everybody needs a gun. Arm the teachers. Arm the pastor in the pulpit. Give everyone a weapon to defend themselves and others. Find all those bad people and take them out. Now, since the massacre in France, there's been a push by some politicians to shut down our borders to refugees from Syria. Let's keep the bad people out as another strategy. Keep the bad people out of our country. There may be terrorists coming into our country under the guise of innocent refugees. And there's a little bit of logic there, but the question I come back to is, can we really keep the bad people out? Is that a feasible solution? In fact, there seems to be plenty of bad people already here. And then also the question remains, how do we care for the refugees that need a home? Maybe the answer to this question is the right politician who can calm the waters. And we have seen in history leaders, prominent leaders coming into power and giving great leadership. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe there will be a great leader who comes on the scene like Gandhi or Martin Luther King. And for our country, of course, we have an election year coming up. Maybe some great leader will emerge from these candidates, come into office and fix this. Well, while great leaders have achieved much success and progress for peace in the world, it seems to me that racism, bigotry, hate, violence, all of those things are still alive and well. And I must say that I'm a little skeptical when I look at the latest crop of candidates, that they'll actually be able to help fix these problems. In fact, a few of them, I think, may actually add to the problems and make them worse. My hope really isn't there in order to fix this. So who is going to fix this? Well, my answer is no one. I don't believe anyone can fix this. I believe there are laws and people and policies that can help, But in the end, I don't believe anyone or anything can really fix the problem that we face as a human race. We can't fix this. These problems have been with us from the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin entered the world. They chose to disobey God. We see that in Genesis chapter 3 at the very beginning. Our problems are not unique. Just a few short verses later in chapter 4, we have the first murder committed, don't we? Cain killing his brother Abel. And he didn't need a gun to do it. The first family, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, four people. And already we have one who's killed in an act of murder. Can you believe that? A couple chapters later, we read in Genesis chapter 6, we have this recorded. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. It sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Now, people will say, and I have thought myself at times, that the world is getting worse. But you know, I don't think it's true. I think we're the same as we have been from the beginning. No better, no worse. Sure, there are ebbs and flows of that, but basically the same. We have the same problems as we've always had. And we see a few verses later in Genesis, God proposes a solution, which sounds similar to one that I mentioned earlier. Verse 13. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So let's just start over, right? Start over with just the good people. Start over with this righteous man, Noah, and his family. But we know the story, don't we? Does evil continue? Yes, it does. It continues after the flood, even on a restart with new people. Evil continues. Okay, so what about maybe a special people set aside by God, taught the ways of God, provided for and protected by God? Did that work? Not really. The Old Testament chronicles the life and times of these people, the Israelites. Many stories of faithful, righteous men and women, but over history and as a people, not particularly successful in following God or eradicating sin and evil from among them. It reminds me a little bit of Zion, Illinois. I don't know if anybody know where Zion, Illinois is? Ever heard of it? Okay, interesting. Zion, Illinois, Doris and I got a chance to be there when Doris's dad was having treatment at a hospital there. It's a small city just north of Chicago. And Zion was established by this man, John Alexander Dowie, a pastor, who dreamed of a city where his congregation would be free of the evils of the world. A city where God ruled. A Christian utopia, so to speak. Dowie instituted, I'm quoting from a website here, the Zion City Lease, which forbade gambling, theaters, and circuses, as well as the manufacture and sale of alcohol and tobacco. In addition, the lease banned pork, dancing, swearing, spitting, politicians, doctors, oysters, and tan-colored shoes. Whistling on Sunday was punishable by jail time. Was it successful? Well, obviously, none of you heard about it. It wasn't exactly... It didn't exactly become the Christian utopia of the world. And I don't believe that they were able to keep all the evils of the world out of that city. In fact, that idea has been tried many times over history. The same idea. Let's just create ourselves this perfect place. But the problem is, you're there. These attempts to expunge evil or to keep it out reminds me of a phrase made famous by the cartoonist Walt Kelly. We have met the enemy, and he is us. I don't mean to infer that there are necessarily terrorists among us here this morning. But I do think we need to stop talking about the problems of the world as being out there. In third person, like we are uninvolved. We are all members of mankind. We all have the same temptations, the same problems. This is not limited to a particular group of people or kind of people. We're all capable of terrible things. And all really have done terrible things to some degree or another to another person. I believe we could all say this little phrase, we have met the enemy and he is us. We know that it's true. And we also know that we can't fix it. We can't fix this. As much as we desire to be free from the evils of this world, we cannot, because in some shape or form, we are part of that evil. We can't fix this. There's nothing in this world that we can put our hope in to fix this. So as I wrestle with the evil of this world, the evil of my community, the evil even in my church, the evil in my family, the evil in my own heart, it is here that the hope of Advent bursts through with surprising brightness, wonder, and joy. I want to read a passage to you. And while I'm reading this, if somebody would be brave enough to help me out here. Forgot to get a volunteer, but if you could light two of the purple candles here, the one that's already been lit and another one. There are matches right behind here. So while I'm reading this, if somebody would like to come up and do that. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered. You want to go ahead and change that for me, Shepherd? You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We can't fix this, but God can. He has been, and he is. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. What no one in this world ever could or ever will be able to do, God is doing. And so I'd like to suggest a small change to Thursday's headline in the New York Daily News. God is fixing it. God is fixing it. God has been carrying out a plan from the time Adam and Eve sinned and we all fell under the curse. Thousands of years ago, God speaking to the serpent, Satan, in Genesis 3:15, says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Who is this offspring that's being spoke of here? Who is the offspring of the woman who will crush the head of Satan? Who is this child to be born of that is spoken of in Isaiah? The Gospel of Matthew reminds us that it is none other than Jesus, born of Mary. Mary and Joseph, as he quotes another prophecy from Isaiah. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? God with us. God came down. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And I'm wondering this morning, do we see? Do we understand what has happened here? This celebration that we're having in just a couple weeks, do we really understand? Do we see God putting on flesh? God coming to earth as man? God shining His light into the darkness of this evil world, God seeking us out. We were helpless to come to Him, and so He came to us. He came to us. He did not ignore our plight. He did not isolate Himself in some holy bubble. He did not blast us away, as He had every right to do in His justice. He did not leave us to our terrible devices. But no, He came. He came to us and became one of us. It's odd for me to look at the seeming innocence of the Nativity with the backdrop of places like Paris, Syria, San Bernardino, Charleston, Colorado Springs, Iraq, Sandy Hook, and just yesterday, Lake Chad. The list goes on and on. It seems odd to look at the Nativity with that kind of a backdrop. But not really that odd. It is that same kind of world that the baby Jesus came into, that God came into, that same kind of world. He came as a child into this mess. He came amidst the violence and the evil. Already as a 2-year-old, living as a fugitive from those who wanted to kill Him. He suffered the evil firsthand, even dying a tortured death on the cross. Why did He come into this world? Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. He came to us to save us from ourselves. There is hope for the world. And in about 2 weeks, we will celebrate this hope that came into the world. This is the hope of Advent. 1 Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. In John chapter 1, Reuben shared this last week. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. For all those who believe, for all who receive him, born again, children of God, oaks of righteousness, free from darkness, we can be changed from the inside out. This is our hope. This is the hope for the world. And we, as a church, we hold this hope in our hands. We literally have the answer for the world's problems. We have it here today. We hold the key, the good news, the gospel, which in a sense begins with this seemingly innocent scene of the baby in the manger. I have to wonder about this husband and wife, this mother, father, co-worker, neighbor, who seemingly callously murdered these people in San Bernardino. I have to wonder about them. What if someone had shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them? And what if they had believed in Jesus? Imagine with me the different path that would have been taken. What if they had heard the gospel? And what if they had responded in belief? How different things would be. We hold the key, the good news of the hope for the world. It brings great hope for us in this dark world, but that hope is not just for us to hang on to ourselves. No. Jesus, hope of the nations, that hope is for the entire world. And I'm wondering if we would share that hope with someone even this week. If we would share that hope. There are many people looking for that hope. They don't know where to find it. We can do something about the problems of this world. Our greatest opportunity to impact the world is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is our greatest opportunity. I'm wondering, would we follow our Savior and do as he did into the dark places of the world? In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But what does he say in Matthew 5:14? He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world in this dark world. Would we overwhelm evil with good? Would we show love in the face of hatred and violence just as Jesus did? would we carry the hope of Advent to all who need to hear? I want to close our time this morning with not just focusing on the hope that we have in the Nativity, God coming down, but the hope that we have of Jesus coming again. And once again, we turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Reminds me of that song. Did anybody ever sing that song? We sang it in chorale, I think. "Gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more, no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more." Do you get that picture of the peace that comes in Christ, both for today, even in the midst of darkness, and ultimately fulfilled in the future that we have to look forward to? Isaiah 11:6 says, the wolf will live with the lamb, the lion will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. And in verse 9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of the peace that God will ultimately bring. Let's pray together. Lord, we are tempted to be discouraged by the terrible things that are happening in the world, and even to be discouraged by the sin in our own lives that we struggle with and seemingly cannot find victory over it. But Lord, we're encouraged this morning as we think of the approaching days we celebrate where you came down to us as a baby, as a child. You came down to fix this problem for us. And Lord, for one, we just give thanks to you for your grace and mercy that you offer to us and to the whole world. That through Jesus and what he did on the cross, that we can be forgiven of our sin, that we can be changed. We thank you for the hope that we have, that we can overcome sin, that our hearts can be changed. The hope that we have that not only us, but any person who believes on you in this entire world, that believes in Jesus as the Son of God, can be changed. As we approach this Christmas season, God, help us to understand the depth of this tremendous grace that has been offered to us. And so we just give thanks to you this morning for it. And I pray too that you would give us hearts of compassion and love for the world. Even a world that may oppose us, may hate us, that we could follow your example and show love and grace and mercy. That we could overcome evil with good. Lord, it is only through your power and your strength that we are able to do this. But Lord, we ask by your power and strength, through the work of your Holy Spirit in us, may we spread this good news, this hope, to everyone that we meet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.